Let your decision be made from your heart and your logic, but not by fear. That's probably the worst thing that can happen here, is that we didn't know what we didn't know, and then we make decisions based on fear that really become regrets. So we're trying to help you minimize those regrets and maximize your memories.
Our TFMR stories, pregnancy loss support in the heartbreak of terminating a wanted pregnancy. In this episode of Our TFMR Stories, I bring in guest expert Cherokee Isles. She has been in the baby loss space for many decades, supporting many, many families through all types of loss. And today we want to talk about the very sensitive and personal topic of choosing between a D and E, dilation and extraction, also called surgical termination, and LND, labor and delivery, or also called a medical termination. So in this episode, we present the differences between these procedures and how to make the most out of whatever procedure you decide or is the procedure that you need to have. So today we have Cherokee Isles with us. Thank you so much for coming on. She is a baby loss family advisor, teacher, founder. She's been in this arena. She's helped thousands of families go through loss. And she is also a bereaved mom herself and author of many books, one of which, The Prenatal Bombshell. Half of the book is about termination for medical reasons. Anything else you would like to add there, Cherokee?
Well, I train people all over the world, and my Empty Arms book is a very popular book, and it could be helpful at this time to help people meet baby no matter which decision you make and create memories to reduce the risk of having a lot of, you know, regrets, wishes that you hadn't accomplished.
Yes, because it is our only time. No, and it's such a short time that we have with our babies and to make these memories.
Yeah. As we tell in our trainings with our baby loss family advisors and loss doulas, and when I train staff, hospital docs, nurses, clinics, whatever, I say this, they get no do-overs. This is the one chance and short period of time. So our goal here is to help people maximize this time and make the most of it.
One of the big decisions that people going through a termination for medical reasons, that one of the biggest decisions they have to, you know, choose which, or maybe they're forced into one or the other, is to decide whether to birth the baby through a D&E, dilation and evacuation, or labor and delivery, which is L&D. So we're going to talk about the difference between D&E and L&D, and we want to present the options neutrally, sensitively, because, like I said, not all of us are allowed the choice of which we will get. But if you do have a choice, then, you know, perhaps this can help you make your choice.
Or if you end up going down one path, better understand it so you're prepared.
Yes.
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you, Sabrina, for letting me join you in this most important topic. The series that you're doing really will be helpful to people. And I just want to say to anyone who's listening, I'm so sorry you're in this situation. No one would have ever chosen this. And I want to remind you that you love your baby. And that love is the love story that we need to start with before we decide about decisions about which way to go here. And as you experience the rest of your pregnancy, even if it's only for two more days or a few hours, when you love your baby this much and your baby loves you, I call this a love story. And yes, it's a component. There's a component here that's big, which has to do with death. But this is not just a death story. This is a love story. And I ask you to always go to your heart and remember that as parents, you love this baby no matter what you did before. You got the news, you do now, and you always will. And so as we talk about the decisions, I just want to focus on that idea that these babies matter to you and you would never have made this a conscious choice. But now that you're in this situation, let's think about what helps people afterwards, because this isn't just a short-term decision, this is a long-term decision. And usually memory making, I won't say 100% for everyone, but usually memory making is important because that is what we hold on to. I say memories are the key to healing, or at least a major key to healing for most people. And so you can make many memories. You can make memories right now before you even have the procedure, or be it labor and delivery or D&E, you can make memories. I think you were just mentioning a few, Sabrina, eating your favorite foods and associating that with baby, listening to music, dancing with baby, taking your baby to a special place, getting some maternity pictures with your other living children, if you have living children, really focusing on how you can use these last minutes now, and then how you can make memories and mementos and get keepsakes and ceremonies. And you can do that with either choice. So let's dive into the pros of the D&E. I'll name a few and then throw the ball back to you, Sabrina, because you'll think of more, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
hopefully
sure.
With the D&E, you will be given medication because there is pain involved, and they are scraping and sucking out to the degree that they need to the contents of your uterus. And, you know, we don't want you to have pain. So talk about that before it begins to make sure that you understand the kind of medication that you will receive and how long it will last. One of the pros is that you'll know the time of the procedure, so you can get your family, your support people near you. You can have a plan for when you go home. You can kind of script it better than with labor and delivery, which could be a while before you're induced, could take a long time. And the amount of pain with medication with the D&E might be less than a labor and delivery situation. You might have a situation where your baby won't be easily birthed. Maybe there's a large head, maybe there's opening where the organs are open, and I forget you can fill in the medical name for that.
Omphalocele or hydrocephalus would be right. Either of those conditions, yeah, could make it much more difficult to go through labor and delivery just as that kind of procedure. So
even
D&E could be,
you know,
yes.
Whatever the situation is, there might be a reason why labor and delivery is difficult for you and the D&E might be a better procedure for you. For some people, they might be afraid of seeing baby. I want to talk about that fear, but I'll hold on to that conversation for a few minutes. And so in this, knowing that the baby, and please know that when I say this, I say it with love in my heart, not to be medical or technical or harsh, but the baby will not come out as a whole body. Not everyone understands that or knows that. Someone was ready to have a D&E and thought she would have a whole baby. That's not what's going to happen with a D&E. So for some people, that seems easier, or at least less hard than seeing their baby because of their fears and their concerns of the problems with baby. And you don't have to go through the process of labor and delivery. It is relatively quick. And so, you know, so there's that timing issue. Maybe there are things happening in your family, in your life, where you really don't want to wait for a period of time, or there's some reason why that's not going to work for you. Or heck, COVID, you know, it may be that you really don't even want to be in a hospital in that situation. Maybe that day surgery or wherever you might go for that D&E actually seems visibly safer. What other reasons can you think of, Sabrina, for pros?
Yeah, so something else that I hear in the loss community, this comes a lot from people who have to terminate their pregnancy when it's their very first pregnancy. And they say that they don't want their first experience with labor and delivery to be with the result of a dead baby or dealing with death as the result. They want to save that and keep that sacred somehow. So I even have some quotes here. So someone said, I don't want my first experience with birthing to be a death experience. This is something I hear quite a lot, actually.
And in some ways, it's sort of semantics, because they really both, to be honest, are death experiences. But I think what they're probably saying is when they push that baby out, they want to hear, ideally, a cry, a life, that they want that celebratory experience rather than what's going to happen here. So, I mean, I totally can understand that. But the reality is, I mean, to be, again, heartfelt but perfectly honest, both of these are death experiences, but they're a different kind of birth. I love that you said the D&E birth. No matter what, these are births. It's like a cesarean is still a birth. It's just medical intervention to help.
Yes.
I really love that you say that, because you are mamas. You know, your partners are daddy's partners, mamas, whatever. And no one can take that away from you. This is not just a medical event.
Yes, although some doctors or nurses around you may treat it as such, But that's why we as pregnancy loss doulas, baby loss family advisors are here to look at you holistically.
Right. And some of the things that still can be done in terms of creating memories, I mean, even though you might, you will get, and you can decide if you want to see or not. I mean, I believe that everyone can see, that everyone has the ability to see the remains of their baby, even if in not that whole state. But not everybody will. And that's your choice. That's your option. And nobody should judge you for that. But for some people, I met a mama once who insisted that she wanted to see after it was a DNC, but it's pretty much, you know, the same. And what she got was, in fact, I have one here, is a smaller version of this, where in here was the remains of her baby. And the nurse called me and asked, how do I show this to her? And I said, lovingly, kindly, honestly. And when she saw, you know, little hand and, you know, just little pieces of her baby, what she said afterwards was, oh my gosh, I really was pregnant. That really was my baby. And so she saw what she could in terms of the beauty. And I guarantee you that no matter what you see here in either of these experiences, you will find some beauty and something special that you can focus on. But what I want to suggest to you is that my friend Donna Murphy from Heaven's Gain has created miscarriage kits, which this may or may not be large enough for. I feel like it should be large enough for 20 week or less, but it can have something sweet and soft. You could make a blanket. You can warm it up. You can create all kinds of memories and mementos and have a holding and a blessing ceremony, have a naming ceremony, have a prayer, a meditative time with baby. There are lots of ways to still hold memories here, create memories and love of your baby. Just because you don't have a whole baby doesn't mean you don't love your baby. Just because you chose guinea doesn't mean you aren't a mama and, you know, this baby's not a part of your family. So let's focus on the positives, whichever you choose, and that you can make mementos and memories. You know, you could come in with a baby charm. You could make like a bracelet for this, you know, put the baby's name if you have a name, or give the baby a name. I have an embroidery machine that we can stitch in baby's name, anyone's name. And so I might, if I knew the name, you know, I might write it, you know, along here. Even just, hello, baby, we love you, or always loved. I mean, there's plenty of ways that we can do things. Writing a note to your baby and tucking it inside. You can still cremate the remains of your baby. You can still get stuffed animals, and you can still put baby in a little baby casket. Heavensgain.com has lots of beautiful little caskets. We can talk more about memory making, but those are some of the pros that I see. Any others you can think of? I mean, I'm sure there are others, but we're just giving you the beginning of some of them.
Yeah, another memory making option, which you may have to advocate for yourself. And especially if this is happening in an abortion clinic, the doctors might say, oh, we don't usually do that. But you can ask for handprints or for footprints. And a lot of the moms and the dads of families that I know, this memento that they have of their child is so precious and so sacred. So if you can ask, and if they're able to do this for you, I would say that's another way to have some kind of memory of the baby. And see, like you said, because this is all that I have of my baby. I had a DNC, I believe. And yeah, I just thought, oh, that's my baby. I had a baby. I have a baby. This is, you know, it's a real footprint, real baby. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So stretch yourself and think of things that you can do to honor this baby. You love this baby, and it to you, it isn't a medical procedure only. Yes, it may involve a medical procedure, but just keep in mind the love that you have for baby and the idea that maybe memories will be helpful to you over time. And this is something that's, you know, you will grieve the loss of this baby. And what will you look back on for comfort? Don't be talked out of things that you have an instinct to do, whether it's to take those foot and hand prints, or it's to take the remains and bring in a blanket and hug that baby and play your music and read a story to baby, whatever you need to do, tell a story, share your dreams and your hopes. Just make it as special as you can, as you're willing to do. And having an advocate, like someone like Sabrina, having an advocate, like a family member, if you don't, usually it's the partners, they're in it with you, you know, they're drowning too. And so you need some Coast Guard people to come in and help you in that drowning experience. And baby loss family advisors are the kind of people who are trained to help you do this well. And to not judge you, but to be there to give you ideas and to support you as you make the best decisions you possibly can. Shall we move on to the cons?
Let's move on to the cons.
Okay, so of course, I've really already mentioned one, and that is you won't get a whole baby. For some people, that's a pro, but for some people, that's a con. Because, you know, then it's harder to hold them in your arms, in your hand. I mean, again, you saw that I could do that. I can still do it. It's just going to be different. You may not be allowed to see or hold baby. Now, personally, what I try to do as an advocate for people, as a baby loss advocate, family advisor, is I have this conversation. We make a birth and parenting plan or vision. We put it in writing. And then before the procedure, we make calls to the doctor and or to the clinic or hospital, wherever this is going to occur, and we ask for what we want. So for instance, instead of fighting a battle at the time about seeing and holding, about taking the remains with you, we make phone calls ahead of time or go and do a visit to see if they have a problem with that. And twice with the same mama, I've had to help get her out of that hospital, or actually they were day surgery centers, and into a different one associated in a different hospital, because they were not going to let her take the remains of her baby home with her. And that was like the most important thing. She did not want lab work done. They already know a lot. They don't tend to need to do more an autopsy or to do more testing. And so you ought to have that right. I don't know what your legal rights are in your state, you know, your province, in your city, in your country, but you should know. You should know. And then if you let them take the remains of your baby, again, I say this with love in my heart, but does it matter to you what they do? In the U.S., a lot of times what they do, under 20 weeks at least, is medical waste with other medical waste. And that's a hard thing to tell you, but that's the reality. And wouldn't you rather know ahead of time before you make your decisions than after the fact? So what do they do and how do they treat this? Is it yours? Is this your baby? And you get the remains, I don't care what they call it, products of conception, fetus, whatever, what you call it, what you want to call it. And so I'm going to go with baby, you know, you do what you want. But what will they do with the remains of your baby? And do they think it's theirs or do they acknowledge that it's yours? And so if this is yours, then you should be able to see, to hold, to touch, to have footprints and handprints, to take with you out the door. There might be paperwork involved, but you, let's just say, I hope you're able to do that. And learning about that earlier is better than at the time, because at that point in time, especially if you don't have an advocate, but even if you do, it's hard. That's why we had to leave one birth center. And I mean, it was hours of tears and me negotiating with people. And finally, when the final note came in, we're like, okay, then we're leaving. And she never had the procedure there. So don't be talked out of things that are important to you.
Yeah, that's very true about knowing beforehand, because I did know beforehand that it would be like a mass cremation, and I was okay with that. You know, I just, and it actually became like this meditation that I did with my child, and I almost felt the day that it happened. I honestly don't know what day it happened, but I just like felt her going up into the sky. So I knew beforehand that that was what was going to happen.
So it's helpful because you can prepare then. You're not such in shock and out of control feelings here. You may feel the procedure, the pressure. You may want to bring headsets and music so that you don't hear the sounds, because there are sounds associated sometimes in these, well, usually in these situations. I would look into the potential for medical consequences. I'm not a medical person, so I can't really tell you the pros and the cons in a specific way, but there are some people who are concerned that these procedures may cause scar tissue.
Yeah, Asherman's. So you can talk to your doctor and, you know, look into your specific case and see, you know, if you would be at risk or not.
Yeah. The other cons might be that your family won't probably get to meet baby, and you won't probably have a picture. Well, you won't have beyond your ultrasound, which is really a cool thing to have and share that with family. You won't be able to have a picture of your baby or your baby with you. However, that mama that I'm talking about, she had two losses that we had to move her to a different facility, as I said. And so we have some sweet pictures of her and her husband with his arms around her, holding her baby like this. In fact, I had a little cradle. It broke, but I had a little cradle that I would bring with me, and we would put this baby's remains in the cradle and put little things around it, you know, like she was a Christian, so a cross or a charm or a stuffed animal, and warm it up. So you still can have pictures, but you can't have pictures of the whole baby held in your arms or naked or clothed, any of that. Any other cons that you can think of?
I think we've pretty much touched on them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's move on to labor and delivery. So we'll start with the pros of labor and delivery. Before we do that, I have a quote that someone sent me. So she said, labor and delivery can feel strangely empowering, even when you don't take your baby home.
Awesome. That's a beautiful quote. And it goes along with what I was just going to say, which is you will be treated like a mother. And that's a big difference than how you may have been treated the other way. Now, in your head, you are a mother. Live it in your heart. Believe it. Don't let what they say or the medical stuff around you, or even in this situation, if they're treating you like get this over with and, not like a regular mother, because that happens too. Mm-hmm. Just remember it and remember again, stay focused on this is a love story, not a death story. Yes, that's a piece of it, but it's the bigger part is a love story and that you are a mother. But probably if you're in a labor and delivery suite, if you're in a room, if you're being cared for by labor and delivery nurses, probably they're going to treat you more like a birthing mother. However, lots of times they're afraid of this too, and so they might not go all the way to treat you like that full mother that you are. So you might be able then probably to have a vaginal birth, although we don't know that. It's possible that things could go a little bit different. Being that you're kind of early, usually it's a vaginal birth, but never count on anything because in all of this, baby makes their own decisions kind of, and it is what it is. We have to go along with that. Some of those pros are you'll get to experience what it's like to birth a baby. You will have that high, I think most of us do. There's a real high with, I did it, I lived through it. It's almost a hormonal high. And of course, then it's rocked with the darkness and the sad sometimes often, but it doesn't have to be. I've helped a lot of people who have been in this situation. And I'm just going to suggest this to you right now, because it could go for either of these situations. And I see it as a real pro. If by chance you can do something that I call embrace the joy, find the beauty, and all built upon the foundation of this being a love story. And if you could put aside for a time the darkness, the sad, the hard, the what ifs, I'm going to miss, I can't believe I'm here, this isn't how it's supposed to be. If you can put those all into a basket and put that basket temporarily in the closet on a shelf in your bedroom, just for now, just for this welcoming time of your baby and the rest of your pregnancy, in either case, by the way, so that when you deal with those things, it'll be after the baby has been buried or cremated or, whatever you choose to do. If you can put those aside and say, I want to be present. I want to remember. I want to meet my baby. So there's some of the pros with a labor and delivery. Now you can get your head in the place of, I'm a mother, just like any other mother. I love this baby. I want a birthday cake. I want balloons that say, congratulations, it's a boy. I want music and smell, essential oils. And I want my family there. And I want them to sing happy birthday to baby. I want to close the door, put up a do not disturb sign. And I want to, if it's a girl, especially have daddies. This is a hard one to say, but I've had daddies say, thank you for telling me, or I wish I would have known. They won't get to dance with their daughter at the wedding, nor will mothers get to dance with their sons at the wedding. And so pick that song that you would like now and do that dance. I know it's not the same, but it's something, and it can become a beautiful memory. And so creating mementos and memories, goodness, some people pierce the ears and put in a little earring. They put little bows on the baby. They bring in blankets and wrap baby in them and make 20 blankets, 10 blankets, and then give those to family members. There's just so many ways that you can make memories. Write a little love note to them and kiss it with lipstick on. I call it kissy love notes, and put that into your baby journal or, your baby book or to go with baby. So you can feel empowered as a mother in all cases here to do a lot of these things. But of course, the pro will be that you get a chance to actually meet baby, hopefully open eyes, see the length, get some pictures, involve your family. And ideally, with COVID, it's really hard. At least in the U.S., they're not letting more than one person in. Some hospitals will let them rotate in. So what I'm doing with the families I work with, someone who's going to have a baby that's a trisomy 13 situation, we're working with the hospital to find a place to bring baby outside in a garden or a little private spot. I said, heck, go to your car if you have to. It's not the ideal, but at least find a way that your baby can be met by other family members. Some people are even taking their babies home. More people are now taking their babies home so that that loving, meeting, welcoming time is really special and can be put in your own little bassinet that was handed down. You know, that's the one you slept in when you were little. And, you know, so there's just a lot of things that you can do to make the memories of your time together, though it's short, so that you have those for later on. What other pros can you think of, Sabrina?
I was just thinking that a lot of those things that you said can also be done in a D&E. The cake, the having people come in, even if perhaps you just have a blanket and no remains, you know, having the balloons. But yeah, definitely a pro in labor and delivery is that there's the physical baby's right. Body there. And there's a group on now. I don't know if COVID is allowing them to go in or not. Now I lay me down to sleep, the photography people. Or perhaps in the places where one person can go in at a time, maybe that photographer can come in. Or nurses sometimes can act as a photographer. Or someone in your family, if they're good with a camera, you know, you can get them to help take pictures.
Right. And let's look at what we're doing. We're doing a Zoom meeting. Well, that is not the ideal in this COVID time. That is another option. So let's just say in either case, D&E or a laboring situation, you could, I mean, think about times when people have died in an airplane crash or something. There are plenty of times where you don't really have a body, but you need to do things to memorialize them. So in either case, Zoom, FaceTime, Skype, find ways to connect with your people, even if you can't get the physical hug, you can get the kiss, the sharing of the tears, you know, looking at their eyes, seeing the baby potentially, or seeing, like, even in this case, you know, seeing this, oh my gosh, what was that you did? Where did you get that? Oh yeah, I made that. It was so nice to see that wrapped around your baby. You know, there's lots of ways that you can visibly connect with people. Thankfully, these days, we don't just have the phone. So capture as much of that as you can. Any other pros that you can think of with physical before we move to the cons?
I think we touched on them. Yeah. And again, some of the cons may also be some of the pros. And it's all very personal. You know, it's all how you are interacting with your situation and the way that you're seeing the way that this is going in your life, just as we move into the cons. Because a con could also be, you know, you have a vaginal birth and you have to go through labor and delivery. It could also be a pro. So it really depends on how you're experiencing it.
Exactly. So like here, you can't control the time. You can't control the length of time. You can't get your family in if they're from out of town easily unless you're being induced on a particular day. But even then, it could go 2 days. It could go 48 hours.
Yeah, and they might have to go back to work, right? So they might not be able to stay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the cons is that you don't have control of the time and it could go on a long time and it could be painful. And then you're having to go through the process of laboring and delivering. And those of us who've been through it know that's not an easy thing to go through. I mean, neither of them are, neither D&E or labor and delivery, but you know, this one can be longer. Maybe you didn't get the option. Maybe they just sent you to sent you for a labor and delivery. So I think sometimes not having the choice is actually more distinct.
Right.
Because it's loss of control.
Yes. Yes. Because perhaps if I would have been given the choice, I would have still chosen to have a DNC, D&E, but I wasn't given the choice. And I kept asking for the other choice. And my doctors did not look for a place where I could have the other choice. And I just, well, you want to be a good patient.
Right. So again, we say, be your own advocate, get an advocate, find somebody who can speak up for you. And if you have an intuition, speak it and say to someone, help me have that. I can't be the one to fight for it. When my baby was stillborn, I had the intuition and the sense that I should get the camera from the car. So I said, you know, that we should take pictures. And I said, David, we have a camera in the car. And he said, what would we use that for? That was all I needed. Off I went to, well, the negative side of I can't do that then. So we literally have no pictures of our baby. And I would highly, 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 highly recommend that. I don't care what problems your baby has. The medical profession don't love your baby like you love your baby. And they will be talking about the medical problems all the time. Well, that's their job, I guess, right? But on the other side of that, you love your baby for who they are. And so it could be a pro that you'll be prepared for some of what your baby's problems are because of that. But you also, you know, if you listen to what we're saying and believe it, you will find beauty in your baby. You will find sweet things about him or her, you know, and that could also be a con. Now you know that there's a severe problem with the head, that the baby might have webbed feet, that there it could be a lot of redness that you see. There's just all kinds of things that you would know, and that can get in the way and create a lot of fear. So now I want to talk about the fear. Some of the cons for both of these situations are that when fear drives you, we don't necessarily make the best decisions, which is why we're doing this. And I'm so grateful to you, Sabrina, for doing it. If we can help fully inform you to the point that we can, where you understand that there are pros and cons and nothing is perfect and you're between a rock and a rock here with either of these decisions, but you can go back to that place of, but it's about love and I'm not going to let fear and fear of the unknown. Now we know more, so it's not a total fear of the unknown, but my fear of what my baby will look like. Go back to that idea that yes, you might see what's wrong with your baby, but what if your eyes see what most of the people that I work with see? And what if they find, you find the beautiful parts of your baby? And so try to drive the fear away or discuss it and try to tick it off your list. Okay, I'm not afraid of that now because I know what can happen. I'm not afraid of that because I know what could happen. And let your decision be made from your heart and your logic, but not by fear. That's probably the worst thing that can happen here is that we didn't know what we didn't know. And then we make decisions based on fear that really become regrets. So we're trying to help you minimize those regrets and maximize your memories. So create ceremonies. And even if it's hard to do a blessing service with a baby who's in your arms and has died, those kinds of things will be hard. That's a con, but it can also be a pro because you will have more in your basket of love and your basket of that experience and your basket of their birth. Movies, videos can be taken, you know, with your camera and lots of pictures of family members who are with you. I mean, heck, we could take a picture right now and, you know, you could have a picture of one of us just as they can have a picture of you and vice versa. So take this seriously, be intentional and know that with the pros and cons, everyone will view them differently. We're just putting some ideas on the table for you to consider. Anything else that you want to add about cons or anything else here, Sabrina?
Yeah, so another con that someone on Instagram brought up for me yesterday when I was asking for their help for this video was that they said that their husband didn't want them to go through labor and delivery. So your family or your partner may not want you to go through that extended, because it will be longer than a D&E would be, 10 to 20, 30 minutes, and labor and delivery is more hours, and many times the father, the partner, does not want them to go through more pain, right? But this is what she said. She said, I'm so glad my genetic counselor normalized that husbands are often less comfortable with L&D, but my counselor told me to stick to my gut in what felt right for me, which was labor and delivery.
Yeah. And, you know, for some people, partners tend to want to protect mama. Mama tends to be thinking about baby and doesn't really understand even this protect me. I know mothers who often say, many have said, I would give my life so my baby could live. Partners don't typically get that. No. I don't want you to be gone. We could have another baby. So you can be kind of on different wavelengths, but really it's important that mama, you do what is in your heart and what you feel you need to do. And don't be talked into or out of something that doesn't feel right to you because you are the one who has to live with that. It happens within our bodies. And we don't want to make our partner bad or wrong. Mm-hmm. So we need to work it out and talk it through. But truly, don't do something that your family members tell you you should or shouldn't do unless you own it and feel like that's the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's imperative that you have, I don't know if it's easy to have peace, but a sense of peace that I'm doing my best. Mm-hmm. I made the best decision I could. And then no matter what, say that to yourself over and over again. I did the best I could with what I knew at the time. And even though I might now choose to do it over differently, at that time, I made the best decision I could. And that's the most we can ask of ourselves. And then give yourself grace and work with the guilt and the shame and the blame that are natural to come because it happened within our bodies. at my support group last night, we were talking about that, who hasn't felt guilt and shame and blame. And pretty much everybody agreed they all had, except one mama said, but you supported me and said these words, Cherokee, when I said I feel so guilty. Or maybe it's not guilty. And I said, could it be that you feel responsible? And she said, that helped me, that I felt responsible for what happened in my child, doing my best and making these decisions, but I don't want to feel guilty about it. And so that's a whole other piece. You can do a whole session on that, Sabrina.
Yes, definitely. You know, don't let... That's an affirmation that we can really hold on to. I did the best that I could at the time with the information I had.
Right.
And you're doing the best that you can right now in this moment with the information that you have. You're doing your best.
Give yourself grace. Give others grace. And, you know, you're going to make it through this. I promise you, you will. If you just work at it and communicate with your people and seek the support that you can get.
Yeah. I think that that's a good place to end there. I think we went through all the pros and cons that we can, you know, in this amount of time. So, well, thank you so much, Cherokee. Thank you. Thank you for bringing your wisdom and your love to this very sensitive topic. And yeah, we're just sending all our love to all of you and all of your families going through this horrible time.
Yes. Thank you. Best wishes to you all.
Thank you so much for joining us in our episode today of our TFMR stories. I hope you find the resources and stories useful for your grief process today as well. And I also want to let you know that I am enrolling for a very special program that I call Ascend, our TFMR grief circle. So it's only for people like you, only for people who have been through the heartbreak of terminating a wanted pregnancy for health reasons. We will be starting February, February 9th, February 10th, depending on which group you would like to join. So if you would like to come have an even more supportive and intimate experience with 5 or 6 other people who have also been through what you have been through, you can apply here in the link below or either in the show notes. Take a look and see if this could be the program for you. I am Sabrina Fletcher, pregnancy loss doula, and you can find me on all the platforms, Facebook and Instagram at the TFMR Doula if you would like extra support. And make sure to subscribe wherever you are listening or watching this episode. Sending you so, so much love.